B-Pod Studios.
Dutcher. I didn't get to be a sports expert until 2009.
Rich.
You would think you were at a children's birthday party.
Dutcher and Rich. 98.5. The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I didn't get to be a sports expert until 2009.
Rich.
You would think you were at a children's birthday party.
Dutcher and Rich. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
98.5. The Sports Hub. We're Dutcher and Rich. And before I get to my vacation, Dan, go ahead.
Oh, good to have you back, Freddie. It's a little manic without you around.
Thank you,
buddy. Waiting for the show to start, I hear a Sarge read, and you guys do creepiest guy at the show. He's like, ladies taking their, or showing their breasts. Like, did you guys hear that? That was the creepiest read
what?
I've ever
yes,
had.
Yes, yes. Like, Fred and I were actually talking about it because it happened like a minute before we went on. It's an Awaken 180 commercial, and it has to do with Mardi Gras. And Sarge is talking about, well, and I'm waiting for him to tie this in. What do you think about when you think of Mardi Gras? And he lists off a couple of things, and one of them is ladies showing their chests.
All right, creepy Sarge.
And then what doesn't he say, Dan, doesn't he say something about like Catholics or something?
Yeah, and then he goes, you Catholics that are fasting during a certain time of year. It's coming up Fat Tuesday.
That's right. What, that's what Mardi Gras stands for.
Yeah,
Fat Tuesday.
He's like, so you give up things. Why not give up, you right, know, all right, the other stuff and you can lose weight? So it's an effective.
Oh, yeah. So he's like take Lent and like quadruple it.
Sure.
Yes. And really get down to business.
That's right. I have not heard that yet, but. It'll Sarge commercials always, you know what? They always make me perk up.
And, you know, they were like, Sarge just freestyling. He's like, ah, what's coming up? Mardi Gras.
It's tomorrow, right? Yeah.
Oh, boy. I'll be going crazy. All right. So I went to Marathon Key where I spent a lot of time 20 years ago. I was there last year. And you know how when you're young and you go places and you remember them and nothing bad about it occurs to you?
Yeah.
And I was there last year, and it was fun because my parents generally, they'll, you know, hang out for a little bit during the day, but I'll play with the kids, which I enjoy, and then my parents will take the kids for a while, and I'll go out with Stephanie. Well, Stephanie has become like a teetotaler. Like, Stephanie just is just become, I don't know, she's like another mom. So my in-laws came, you know, uninvited, but they came for...
Hang on. So you're already there with your parents, and then they don't live anywhere near Marathon Key.
No, they live, like, in, what, West Palm or something.
That's still, like, what, 3 hours?
So they live in West Palm, and then my sister-in-law comes down from Miami.
Okay.
So now I'm in this just ring of judgment. So it's just like this oppressive, like watching your behavior. It like the vacation now for 2 days has become like unbearable. Like it's like work. So same, but you know when you get on vacation, you can't sleep in.
Yeah.
So like I'm up at like 5, and then the kids get up and I give them breakfast, and then I take them to the pool and I play with them until like 3 o'clock. And then I got a, and then everyone's, you know, gathered around in this like little town home and sitting there in judgment of me. And the first night they were there was the Monday night. And because my in-laws are like, you know, super like, hey, we don't eat till like 9.
Okay,
like,
so when did you find out they were coming? This is an interesting part to me. They just crashed your vacation?
Well, they told Stephanie that they were coming down like a month ago.
Oh, okay.
But not, my parents weren't thrilled like about all this, but they didn't stay with us.
Okay.
But like, so they So I've been up all this time, and like they're, you know, like super, we're young. Like we just eat at the bar at like 9.
All right.
And so.
You don't have kids.
Yeah. And so Stephanie makes these reservations at 8 o'clock, and I'm like, I'm not going.
No.
Like, I'm not going to this dinner. I've been doing all this crap all day. I'm not going out to dinner at 8 o'clock. So that is the Hiroshima. That bomb is dropped. The whole thing has gone crazy. Then Stephanie puts pictures up on Facebook, and Stephanie's dad. All right, Stephanie. And so
did you get texts?
Yeah. And then so then Stephanie's dad's wife is complaining that she's not on Facebook. And so this is the first 3 days of vacation. It's just this constant vice grip on me. Mm-hmm. And by the way, why the hell is everyone wearing masks at the airport?
Oh, because the coronavirus.
Told you, I saw this.
If you're going to Charlotte, you're going to Boston to Charlotte, the coronavirus.
I told you, when I flew down to New Orleans, I saw it in Charlotte coming back. I saw it in Dallas going down.
And by the way, what's that mask going to do?
Well, like, I mean,
all of a sudden, you're not going to get sick because you have some dumb mask
precisely.
On?
Precisely.
Yeah, I mean, like, those masks help.
Help what? Like, if you...
Keep the germs out.
Yeah, oh, please.
They do.
Well, listen, like, at the hospital and stuff where you can't get spit on anyone, the mask, what are you going to not get the coronavirus because of the mask?
Probably.
Oh, please. You can still get it. And what are you worried about on your flight, for your domestic flight to Charlotte?
Yeah, I also don't know how bad it is on the East Coast right now.
I don't know if you're anywhere domestically. I mean, the only way I could see doing it is if you were going to China, or I guess now Italy. It's freaky. Everyone's walking around with a dumb mask on, scaring me. So I go through this vacation, and I'm being judged every evening, and I feel this oppression.
Are they saying anything to you?
No, I'm just.
Is it the silent judgment? Is the looks?
Are they counting beers?
Are they pulling Stephanie aside into other rooms? Okay. Tell her to stop. Stephanie, stop texting.
Come on.
You're killing his smoke.
Let us just get through
this. He's telling a story, Stephanie. Stop.
Now, no, they don't say anything, but it's there. The sister-in-law brought a boyfriend down.
Okay.
So there's now...
So hang on. This is your vacation.
Yes, this is my vacation.
So, okay.
This is my vacation.
When's the last time you had a family-free vacation?
We have one a year, but I don't mind my parents being around. But now there's what? So 2, 6, 8 people are on this vacation. And this is my vacation. This is money that I spent.
Yeah.
And so the whole time that I should be having fun is that I'm spending money, real money, to fly down to Miami for this trip. And yes, the whole relax. Are you kidding me? I go to bed and miss dinner, and then the whole talk at dinner apparently is about how I missed it. And how terrible this is that I missed the dinner. I don't want to go. I shouldn't have to do one damn thing I don't want to do.
See, that's the attitude you need to keep, and you need to. And that,
but you can't do that in real life. You can't. You can't do it in real life.
Yes, you can.
I watch Curb Your
Enthusiasm. Stop caring.
No, I. And then what? Then the whole world blows up.
How?
Then you don't understand the family dynamic. If you get into it,
my family can be bad crap crazy, but I stopped caring.
But I have to care because there's very fragile relationships like, going up and down.
It's only fragile if you let it be. As long as your wife's happy, that's a real thing. As long as she's happy because you live with her,
I don't know.
Fine.
She's,
who cares what your mom thinks? Who cares what the mother-in-law thinks?
She's I don't know because she's they go crazy. When she's around her father, she feels uncomfortable. Yeah. Everyone's uncomfortable. I can't break. I just can't do it. It's playing Jenga. And if I pull the wrong piece or if I pull 3 pieces at a time, mm-hmm. the whole thing's going to collapse. It's very fragile. I'm sitting there in a Jenga puzzle And you don't understand. You have the ability to you have the ability to compartmentalize these things. But do you really have to? Have you gotten into it with family members?
Oh my God, yes.
But not like your brothers and sisters or mom.
Yeah. I have. Other side of the family? Yeah.
Okay, because, again, this is my
And then
vacation.
I just choose not to be around them.
But there's nothing I can do about it.
I mean, if they show up, Rich, okay, he's got no chance.
Here's what you could do. You could say, Stephanie, I think one family's enough. If it's all cool, can we just have it just be my parents? And then, you know what? We'll visit her, your parents later.
But then she's got to tell them no.
Okay. Then she's got to tell them
but
no.
Then
or
that
you
all,
can
then,
tell them
oh,
no.
Oh, but you don't understand. And then that all turns into something.
You know what? It's better than dealing with a hell vacation. That moment of having to tell them no is a million times better than what you just suffered through.
So I'm supposed to be on this vacation, and and by the end of it, everyone's planning on sending me to a psychiatrist.
Yes.
No. There's a plan revolving around me to send me to a psychiatrist.
But you already go to one, don't you?
Yeah, but they're more of a drug dispensary. So I came out of this vacation, which was to relax and have fun.
Yes.
And maybe do some fishing.
You got to learn the power of no, man.
No,
learn the power of telling them no.
Literally coming out of there, the first thing Stephanie did was start hunting for psychiatrists
for me. Oh.
So, I have to, because of this vacation, I have to start going to a psychiatrist.
Why do you have to go?
Because I'm being told. Everyone's telling me to go to a psychiatrist.
Well, okay, what's the problem?
I don't seem the same.
In what way?
Oh, Jesus. You seem the same to me, Fred, if it means anything.
In what way?
I don't know. I don't seem the same to people. I don't know. I'm not happy.
Why? Because you got pissed that you had overrun my family?
I didn't get pissed. I don't know. I avoided it. I numbed myself. I just wanted it to be over. So I just slept, which isn't bad. But then when you go to sleep at 7 o'clock and then you wake up at 4. So because of this vacation now, I am to see a psychiatrist.
You can always say it's your family's fault. The reason I'm acting different is because I didn't want to be in this position in the first place.
All I know is that I'll just go to the psychiatrist.
To avoid more trouble?
All of this just could have been avoided. Next time, say no.
It's not up to me.
It is up to you. It's your family. It's your vacation. Just say, hey, you know what we'll do? We'll meet up with them on a different trip. But this trip, one family's enough.
It was not my decision.
It is your decision. It's your vacation.
But Stephanie's on the vacation, too. JP, go ahead.
Fred, you sound like a Brookline 911 call. Send an officer over. My in-laws are giving me a hard time. I can't get my kid to go to camp. This is more than Jones complaining. You got to man up and do the trip and just do what you got to do.
Man up and do. What do I have to do?
I'm sorry. It goes with the package. It's called son-in-law and son. It never goes away. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Maybe you could have had an officer come over. I don't know.
So you never bitch about any of this to your friends?
I do, but you're back. We were looking for you to come back, and already it's 1 hour and 15 minutes, and you're bringing us down already.
All right. Well, that's my job. All right.
So did you get any kind of R&R? Are you feeling rested and back in action there?
Yeah. Yesterday, I didn't leave the house, so that was good. All right, I got more from the vacation I can do later. But some psychiatrist in the area is going to get a nice check from me.
So you're double dipping on psychiatrists now, two different types.
Yeah, one is a talking psychiatrist. The other one's a pill psychiatrist.
Can you look them up that way?
I've heard the key is to get them both to not know about each other. Oh, the good stuff.
The Limbaugh way. Yeah, that's right. All right.
Well, I'm sorry, Fred. Hopefully being back will give you a little bit of normalcy and things will kind of, you can step away and everyone can realize that, hey, you've always been this way.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Chris Forsberg will join us. We'll talk about the Celtics game last night.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich. 98.5 Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
No, Fred, come on, man. This is a family radio show.
No, it's not. Not really.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
LeBron, left side, Caldwell Pope, bounce entry, Anthony Davis steps in the middle of the floor, steps through on Tice, misses the layup, Celtics have it, a chance to take the lead. Marcus Smart, shuttle pass lead, Hayward on the wing against LeBron, bounce pass to the corner, Jaylen Brown for three, got it!
Ooh! Somebody just stepped on my doggone toe! Get off of it, Cheeto, man!
Timeout, Frank Vogel with a minute 17 to go, and Jaylen Brown has given Boston a two-point lead.
Man, it's going to be a fight. This is going to be a fist fight. It's going to be a rock fight. It's going to be, as Kevin Garnett, a bar fight. It's going to be a bar fight right now.
There you go. 98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich.
Get off my toe, Cheeto Man.
I can just picture the tiger, the Cheeto Tiger, just sitting there stomping on everybody. Chris Forsberg covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Forsberg, hello.
Good morning. So I got to tell you a funny story, because I told Danny Ainge, I said, what goes through your mind when they're bringing you on Thursdays and you hear all those crazy Cedric Maxwell intros from the night before? And he's like, what Cedric Maxwell intros? Like, he doesn't even hear the all the craziness before you bring him on. It blew my mind.
So he has no idea the nonsense that Cedric Maxwell likes to yell when he gets excited.
So the whole thing was Abby Chin was filling in for Max one night. I was like, we were kind of like trying to prep her, and I said, well, just, you know, if you don't know what to say, just make up something about sandwiches. And Danny was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, well, that's what. Don't you hear Max saying all that crazy stuff before you go on there? And he had no idea, so he's totally oblivious.
Well, listened 2 weeks ago. He was listening to the show before he came on.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
He made reference to that. So, Chris, do you think that the Celtics were screwed last night?
I mean, like, clearly there was some questionable officiating, and yet I hate when we do this after a game and we sit there and lament the officiating. I like going back and watching the out of bounds play on the baseline. Like, there was no definitive angle to me that said it went off Anthony Davis. You know, the Jaylen Brown on the sideline was pretty bad, but, you know, both teams got screwed on a goaltend.
Yeah.
It's just too bad that, you know, a really great game for 47 minutes and we're kind of left talking about the officiating. In the bigger picture, like, I think there was a whole bunch of positives, and I don't think Celtics fans should be lamenting the loss all that much more than, you know, what went on, but I get it. It's frustrating to have it come down and for the officiating to be such a big part of the topic of conversation.
Yeah, and I'm not even, like, you know, looking at that game as being something that sucks, because, you know, the officials were awful. But to me, the only thing that I thought was egregious was that you can't give Brad Stevens a technical when the game is that close and you're right at the end, and especially a guy that never gets technicals before, and what he did didn't seem to rise to the level of teeing somebody up. I mean, at that point in the game, I was saying earlier, it's almost like you've got to, like, grab the ref or something to get teed up, you know?
Yeah, and I'm with you. I think especially even like the smaller stuff, like, it just swallow the whistle, let them play it out at the end there, and certainly Brad sort of stomped at the ref, but coaches have done so much worse, and in that situation you just can't call it. I don't even know which ref gave him the tee. Was it the trailing ref who saw him make the motion, or was it the younger ref? They didn't do a good job of explaining it on the broadcast of where exactly he got teed up. But yeah, in that situation you just got to kind of let that slide.
I mean, they were all over the place. They gave Daniel Tice a technical. They announced that it was Daniel Tice. He wasn't anywhere near the play a couple minutes before that. It was strange. All right, so the one thing that I'm watching now over the next couple, and I will be watching over the next couple of weeks before the playoffs, is we know that Jason Tatum's a star, and we know what he's doing right now is unbelievable, and now you see what Danny Ainge has always thought that he could turn out to end up being. He's going to be a superstar. Jaylen Brown's obviously becoming a star in front of our eyes as well. But the thing that, as a Celtics fan, I think you should be most concerned with is, how's Daniel Tice going to do? Like, when you know that you're eventually going to have to go up against a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo, how is he going to fare? And, like, Cantor's numbers are going down and Tice's are going up.
Did you see how well he played against Minnesota?
He was, well, first of all, Tice has been really good as of late. Now, yeah. You're right. It's going to be, it's a completely different ball game. But when you're watching the whole big man situation, does it give you any more faith in how you think they would fare in a 7-game series against the Bucks?
Yeah, you know, I'm actually surprised that would be your concern. I think, you know, Danny put it well. I don't think the center spot has lost them any games this year. And look, like, in the playoffs, when you got to defend Giannis or Embiid, if that ends up being a matchup, like, I don't have a good solution for what you do. I think you got to lean on the fact that you put a lot of pressure on the perimeter, don't try to let the ball get down there, and just live with what they do. Certainly you'd feel a lot more comfortable if Cantor could step in situations where Tice was struggling. I'm curious to see what Robert Williams brings here and whether he can be that sort of third spoke and be a guy they can lean on in some of those matchups, at least to make those guys run up and down the court, provide some verticality near the rim. But ultimately, I just don't think the fate of this team will be determined by the center spot. And it's going to come down to how good those wing players are playing and whether they have it going, whether their defense is making it tough on everybody else on the floor. Like, Anthony Davis had a big night last night, but I didn't think that was the difference in the game. It, you know, comes down to LeBron just does what LeBron does and hits that fadeaway. And so, to me, it's more on the other guys on the court. I think, like, the other night when Tice goes for that 25-16, and even yesterday, thought he had really good stretches. I just don't think it's as much as especially early in the year, we sat here lamenting the Boston's lack of sort of that impact defender. I think they've been good.
What is your take on Kemba Walker's knee injury? I wasn't worried until I heard the words synvisc injection, then I got very worried.
Yeah, same.
Who is worried about Sinfins? I mean, Sinfins is running
Sinvisc.
Wild.
Sinvisc.
Yeah, well, Sinvis is what concerns me.
Chris, your thoughts?
Whenever I have to go to Google to figure out an injury situation, it's never good. So, right. Yeah, I agree. Like, whenever you need injections and it gets to that level, it's a concern. But I'll say this. When I heard they were giving Gordon Hayward injections in his foot and cortisone to try and alleviate that nerve thing, I was concerned. And he's been really good. So, like, maybe they know what they're doing with these things. It just seems like it's diminishing returns. When you have to start pumping in shots, there's only so much you can do to sort of alleviate that. I'll be very interested to see how they manage Kemba moving forward. I think they're going to have to, you know, really ramp down his minutes a little bit. Maybe he's more of a 28 to 30 minute a night guy instead of necessarily climbing over that number, which is fine because if Jason Tatum is playing the way he is and you've got other guys to lean on, you can sort of ease Kemba into the finish line here. You know, listen, they've had instances like this in the past. Al Horford obviously had sort of that knee issue last year, and they were able to manage it, and it really didn't flare in the postseason. I think, you know, you get to that point, and it's just sort of you take the chains off and let them go. But, yeah, certainly for a guy who's been healthy throughout his career, a little bit troubling that it's been as much of an issue as it has this year.
All right, speaking of defenders, they've been using Romeo Langford a lot. At the end of games, he's become kind of a defensive specialist. Is that going to continue, do you believe, as you get into the postseason?
Nah, it's hard for me to think any of these rookies are going to see much time. And I know people are, especially a game like yesterday, people get really upset about the bench. You know, Wanamaker had a bad night. You couldn't play Cantor given the matchup. You know, Smart elevates to the starting role. So it's just one of those nights where I think the starters had 101 of the 112 points. And so I get the consternation. Do you need to go find someone on the buyout market? I don't think it's for a lack of trying. I think they've been intrigued by some names out there, bigger guys that can maybe play the four and shoot the ball. But, you know, some of these guys get bought out and they just get snatched up by really good teams, Bucks and Lakers and stuff like that. So I'm really intrigued by Romeo, and I'd like to see more. I just don't know if over the final 20-something games you can get to the point where Brad Stevens would be confident enough to put a rookie out there. And yet, like, he might not have any other choice, especially if there's injuries. So I think Romeo showed really well. I mean, he had that one play where LeBron drives on him, and he legitimately plays about as good of defense as you can and strips him, and LeBron somehow fumbles the ball and still puts it up and in. So
yeah, that was a good play by LeBron.
I mean, like, all you can do, but like,
I'm saying that's insane that you can stay in the air that long and catch it and put it back up.
I feel bad for Romeo because that's like as good a defense as you can play, and it looks like he just kind of got muscled and puts it in. So, but look, if he keeps playing as defensively as he has, I think there's a chance there where, you know, especially where you just need a change up in the playoffs, that Romeo is one of those guys they could roll in there. I just don't think it's going to be bigger minutes.
Okay, Chris. So we had Danny on the show right after the trade deadline, and we talked about the buyout market, and he straight up told us that Isaiah is not what they're looking for. And after watching a game last night, you know, you're right. Celtics fans are saying, man, I wish we had some scoring off the bench. He's still sitting there. Why do the Celtics, and why does Danny, why do they not like Isaiah? Because it just seems to me, and listen, I'm kind of with Danny, because but right now it's almost like a beggars can't be choosers. Like, they're like, what else is out there that would be better than getting a instant points off the bench like Isaiah Thomas for nothing?
Yeah, so just from like the way I view it, like, two things. One, you know, it's just not the same player, and like,
but he's having a good season, but his season's been pretty good.
He's having a good season for a terrible team who can give him the ball a whole bunch off the bench. And the Celtics just aren't built to give him those many touches and that much freedom to sort of just, you know, chuck the ball up and make plays. And
that's fair.
Now, look, in a vacuum, I'd love if you could bring him in and just, like, turn him loose and let him be the old Isaiah. When nights when Kemba's not out, like, certainly I sit there and think, man, it'd be cool if you could just roll in someone like that. And yet I just don't think it's not the same. And I also think, like, as weird as it sounds, you're bringing in a guy who is a hero here, who is like a star, and like not going to live up to that. Plus, you got like, you know, I don't think Kemba would be put off by it, but I do think there's just something to this idea of, you know, all right, well, here's another guy that we got to share touches with. And
so it's
and
a chemistry like, reason. You think chemistry has a lot to do with it?
I don't even know if necessary chemistry. Like, I don't think Isaiah comes in and makes the locker room worse. I just think it's hard to bring back a guy who is so beloved and such a star, and to just make it and find that magic again. And so I just think you'd be crossing your fingers. It's just not the right fit at this time. It's the same reason that you didn't go out and get, you know, Jamal Crawford or someone. Like, it just doesn't fit with what you need and how this team plays. And, you know, again, you'd be asking Isaiah to play some nights like 8 minutes. Like, I don't know. It to me, there's more pressing needs that you could fill, that if you're going to sort of upend this thing and go make an end of the roster move, there's probably better fits out there.
All right, Chris Forsberg, a pleasure as always. Watch him as he covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. We always appreciate the time, sir.
Thanks, y'all. Take care.
All right, appreciate it.
By the way, real quick, something absurd. The Bucks clinched the playoffs yesterday.
Yeah.
It's the earliest in NBA history that a team has ever clinched the playoffs.
7 weeks before the end of the season. I mean,
that's insane. They're so damn good.
Yeah, so were the Mariners when they set the record, all-time record for wins. And what happened to them? You don't remember?
114 wins? 116 wins. Sorry.
119 wins, I believe.
I think it was 116. I'll check. I think it's 116.
Well, if that's the hill you want to die on.
I'm prepared to die on this hill, Fred. I don't think it was 119.
Well, I can continue to bitch about my vacation, or we can talk about something else. We'll be right back here with the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
Nine at five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I was on a vacation that I took my time off for, so none of this coming after me. And it was a time to relax and to enjoy yourselves. And we met a couple last year that have a six-year-old that were there, and they were back this year, and they're like, how come we haven't seen you? And I said, because my in-laws, my sister-in-law, and my parents and kids are here. And he just went, oh, Jesus. Because they're having the time of their lives. They're walking around.
Yeah.
There's an adults-only area, which I never saw, but like... It's borders, like, where the pools. And, again, I like playing with my kids. It's fun for me.
Yeah.
Because you can do crap that you did, like, in college. Like, you can do stupid crap in the pool.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, I smoke crack and to the side. Huh? But then, just like college. But then I never saw this area. And they put their six-year-old in the kids' play thing, and he's in there all day, and they're just having the boat drinks and having the time of their lives. And I tell him what's going on, and he's like, what the hell, man? What's going on? I go, oh, I've been told, and this is absolutely true, I left that vacation with everyone, with my parents and my wife, requesting that I go see a therapist. So now I have to go see a therapist.
If only there were warnings, like movies such as Christmas Vacation. Like, this is like a tale as old as time, Fred.
Yes.
You get everyone in the family all together. It never ends with happiness.
But isn't it fairly unprecedented that you have to go see, they want you to go see a therapist?
I've never heard of it happening.
Yes. I'm going to say that this is odd.
Yeah. But has there ever been a situation where you've gotten, like, almost the entire family together where it ends out being, like, a great time?
It's never happened before.
That's,
a bris. But we've taken.
Well, that's because it has a grand finale.
Well, yeah.
Woo! Off comes the foreskin.
Yeah. But because the poison pill is gone, which is my mother-in-law. So you've pulled the poison pill.
Sure, sure.
So it's not like my parents, whatever you call them, in-laws. It's not like they did anything wrong.
Yeah.
It was just that
it's a mix.
It was too much. And I'm at the center of it. And this is all, and I'm paying money, like money for all this stuff. And there's this like wall around me of people, and I'm in the middle of it, just turning around and going, like, all I want to do now is go to bed. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why you want me to go see a therapist, because I'm not quote unquote myself. So now, you know, I really think that you should seek therapy, Fred. I really think that you should seek therapy.
Now, have you told them no?
I don't mind. I'll go see a therapist.
No, then they win. Then you know what you've done. Given them power.
My in-laws.
If you don't think you need to go see a therapist, then don't go.
Of course I need to go see a therapist.
But you've already seen one.
But that's only like a couple of times a year. It's like four times a year. No, my in-laws didn't say go see a therapist. I'd be like, whoa, that's weird. So this is, and you know, I remember the Keys finally. I spent a tremendous amount of time there from 93 to about 99. And I remember charming and the locals and everything like that. And then you realize, I'm in the Keys. So it's 100 miles from where we were staying to the Miami airport.
Okay.
It took me 3 hours to get to Key Largo, which is 40 miles away.
Ooh, and you're on your favorite bridge, too.
Oh, no. You don't have to take the 7-mile bridge.
Oh, you don't? Okay. No, that's a little further? Oh, it's after it? Okay.
Yeah, there's a bunch of bridges, but they're not that big.
Oh, okay. All right. That one.
Yeah, yeah. No. The 7-mile bridge. And so 3 hours. And I go, what is going on? I'm like, because, you know, it's only two lanes down Scenic Highway, the Florida Scenic Highway. And I go, and finally, I mean, I'm not lying to you, 3 hours to go 40 miles because we were going to eat at this restaurant. I look at what's going on, and it's an effing outdoor flea market. And I have to tell you, there's 5,000 people there at an outdoor flea market. What are you doing at a flea market? How can this attract like bugs on crap? Dude, like, what are you going to wait? They're taking school buses to get dropped off at the stupid flea market?
Oh, yeah.
This is, and it's every time we leave is the day of the flea market. And there's people just walking around. What are you going to find there? Like an old Tom Pradansky card from 1987?
Nick, what is the one in Western Massachusetts that my wife had me go to that you've been to before? Brimfield. That is like this thing that it might as well be Coachella. It is the holy grail of flea markets. And it's Woodstock. There's people camped out. There's all these cars for miles.
This is exactly what it was.
Yeah.
This is exactly what it was.
For a flea market.
Except it was on a two-lane road.
Okay. I believe the one Brimfield's on a two-lane road.
Yeah.
Once you actually get there.
Yeah. So these morons are bumping into each other. And by the way, you see them coming out with nothing. Like I see these like people coming out, they have nothing.
It's the experience, Fred.
They have done nothing. You purchased nothing. You've spent your entire day. Uh-huh. You probably got up at effing 5 in the morning
yep.
to go out somewhere, and you didn't even buy anything.
You got fried dough, though.
Yeah, I don't even know if they had fried dough. I didn't see anything. I, what are you going to buy? What are you, a monocle and like one of those like binoculars you put up to your eye?
Right. It's like that show where they find the value of something.
Yeah, everyone's going to find
Antique Roadshow.
Yeah, right. And at the big stupid thing. And so after 5 hours. I get the 100 miles to the Miami airport. So you go and you return the car. And first of all, my wife took a picture. I put it up at Instagram at Fred Toucher of me concentrating so hard to find the rental car because it's just a disgrace. I mean, who's the architect that does airports? It seems like they like let college kids be their first project. Like, why don't you get someone who's built like the Sears Tower to come in and build your airport? These are the worst designed things of all time.
Do you remember the rental car places that Logan used to have? You used to have to drive like halfway to like
you had to go to the horse track.
Okay, yeah, you did. You had to go to the horse track. Right.
Yeah, because and then so like I'm because if you miss it, then I told you the last time I missed it. All it was fat ladies in like the beach chairs just sitting at the end of their driveway. That's all it was. I got in some neighborhood and it was just ladies with oxygen tanks sitting in beach chairs, lounge chairs.
That's Miami, man. That whole area is just like unbelievable. Like the baseball fields dropped in the middle of a neighborhood. Yeah, the same thing.
Right. And so I'm like concentrating. I dropped this thing off. Now time is of the essence because we didn't expect the 5 hour drive to the airport.
Right.
So you get on this tram, and you have to go, like, legitimately a mile and a half on this tram. Who designed this? Who thought that this was a good idea? Like, the land is so sparse in this garbage area of Florida that you can't do it? So I get there, and so we've already checked out. We already have, you know, done the thing you got to do with your bags, and we have our things. And so we just have to drop off the bags. So I stand in this line with one lady, and she's just not talking. And all these people have these, like, giant blue trash bags that they're taking. So I stand in this line while this woman remains silent and just walks around. And I finally go, hey, while you're doing all this, can I just drop my bag off to you? And she goes, are you going to Cuba? And I go, no. And then she goes, oh, then go over there. Why didn't you tell me that this is a line for Cuba? There's no sign that this is a line for Cuba. This is American Airlines. All it says is American Airlines. And by the way, someone pointed us there. Yeah. No, this is just for Cuba. And by the way, everyone has 5,000 pounds of things that they're taking with them. And she just sits there looking at us incredulously. Like, what an a-hole. He wants to get on his flight. What a piece of garbage. He wants to get on his flight. I finally get the bags in to the non-Cuba to the area of it. Again, no sign that said this is Cuba. No, nothing. They don't come around and ask you, hey, is this Cuba? So I go down, I get the bags in. Now we get to the where you come in, and there's a huge line, and we're going to be late. I go, where's the TSA? He goes, oh, it's down there, TSA pre-check. It's down there, half a mile away.
Yeah.
It's not the real gate. Like, why? Why is it not the real gate? Why do you have a gate and then the same thing half a mile down? So we go through there, and I am pouring sweat.
Sure.
Pouring sweat.
It all starts from the white knuckling in the car, and it has not stopped the entire way.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm just dripping in sweat, and people are staring at me. And then we're going, and then it's another like mile and a half walk to the gate, and like we were the last people on the plane.
Plenty of carry-on space left, too, when you get in there.
Oh, what are you, crazy? Think I'm going to carry something on? I'm bringing the backpack with the Xanax in it. I'll have to talk to my therapist about it when I go.
Any angry people on the plane yelling at you, like in times past? Or?
No, but I had a fat old lady next to me, so I had a big cramp at the end of it because I had to turn to the left. Oh, and then they have the... They have the headphones to watch the TV that are like the most antiquated things. Like if you have, like they still have like the stick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the stick.
And if you sneeze, it only goes in one ear.
No. It's the stick. It's not like for your phone. It's not the headphones you wear.
It's the stick. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the quarter inch. Or the eighth inch.
So I'm watching my iPad and you know, I'm running out of stuff to watch and I go to the guy, can I have headphones? And he goes, another pair? No, a-hole. I can't fit it in the thing. Another pair. And then he gives me the pair of headphones, and they're just a pile of garbage that you would have bought anywhere. Just give me the headphones. Oh, another pair? Oh, yes, please. Oh, good. Cover me in headphones.
Please, sir, may I have some more?
Yes, can I get these 1 cent headphones? Can you hand them to me? Oh, Lord, have mercy on us all. Ugh. Just so I came out of there knowing two things. One, the first 3 days of vacation sucked. And two, I have to go to a therapist. And three, I'm never going back to Miami or South Florida ever again. Never. Is this the line for Cuba? Oh, you're going to Cuba? No. No, this isn't. Oh, it's not the. Of course, this is the line for Cuba. Every airport's got the line for Cuba. You know, I was over there in Des Moines, and I got the same thing happened to me. They said, "Are you in the line for Cuba?" Yolks on my face.
Just stay home for now on. Just do a staycation.
No, because that sucks. Because then you're trapped at home. And no one can do anything during the day. I'll just go to... what I'll do on my next vacation, I'll just go to a therapy retreat, apparently. This is what I need.
Great Wolf Lodge is right up the street. Just do a week there. Yeah. Come on.
Have some fun. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
All right. Well, I have a question that I need to ask our listeners. And Fred, I've got something special for you.
I'd like to hear it. We'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, guys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.